So some of you who've heard me preach before may have heard me mention a woman called Diane Tyson. She's not someone that many of you would know unless you're watching this from somewhere like Australia, because I knew her in Australia, and she died in 2017. And I'd spoken to her quite a bit. I had quite a few things to do with her, but I never met her in person. I never was in the same room as her. And we spoke by the phone and things like that. And although I never met her, she was a very special lady, very special person in my life and the life of my family and the life of many of us who were a part of Cornerstone Community in Australia, because she prayed. That was her thing, is she prayed. And she was the sort of person who would phone you up one day and say, hey, I was praying for you and I felt like God was saying this, or this happened, or I saw this kind of thing in your life. And when she did that, you listened, because that was the kind of person she was. She prayed and she prayed and she prayed, and when she spoke, you listened, because you knew she had something worth saying. You knew she was making a difference with her prayers. James says in his letter that the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. And although Diane wasn't a man, she was righteous, no doubt, because her prayers were powerful and effective. But the thing about Diane, the sort of unusual thing you might think, is that she was actually in chronic pain for huge chunks of her life. She was not well at all, and she would sometimes have long periods of time where she could barely move, and she was stuck in a chair or in bed or whatever, unable to move because of the chronic pain she was experiencing. And she wasn't always like that. That hadn't been her whole life. It kind of something that came upon her. And as she got older, it got worse and harder. But I think Diane knew something. You see, when she started having these problems, when these things came upon her and she couldn't do what she used to do, she couldn't be as mobile as she used to be, her response was, well, I can pray. And that's what she did. And she kind of forged herself in the white hot fires of prayer and became this amazing woman who prayed and heard from God and spoke God's word into people's lives, even though, or maybe because of the fact that she wasn't able to do all the things that she used to do. And I think the lesson she knew, the thing she realized that I don't think many of us do, is that physical limitations do not have to be spiritual limitations. I think that was a message she just totally understood and got and put into practice. Lockdown, of course, introduced physical limitations on us, but they never had to be spiritual limitations. They didn't have to cut short our spiritual growth. It reminds me a bit of Paul, who knew a form of lockdown. He was in prison for the last part of his life. Yet he too, I think, understood this lesson that Diane had learned, that physical limitations don't have to be spiritual limitations. And I'm going to read to you from his letter to the Philippians and read chapter 1. So he was in prison when he wrote this. I'm going to read from chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. And he writes this to the church at Philippi. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until on the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So Paul was in lockdown. He was sort of under house arrest. He was had sort of severe physical limitations placed on him. Yet that did not stop him being spiritually active. And we're told in these opening chapters that he prayed. That was one of the things that he did in his lockdown, like Diane did with her physical limitations. They turned it into an opportunity to pray. Now, when I spoke last time, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about how I found lockdown very difficult spiritually. And that affects your prayers and the way you pray and your prayer life. Of course it does. If you're struggling spiritually, it will colour whether you pray or how often you pray or how long your prayers are or the content of your prayers. And that can be a problem. That can be kind of like this false place you find yourself in. That can be a spiritual lockdown that you put yourself under when you don't need to, because the physical limitations are not necessarily spiritual limitations. Prayer remained, even under lockdown, something that we could all continue to do. And maybe that free time or the extra time you had because you couldn't go out as much, maybe that was an opportunity to say, well, I'm physically restricted, but I can pray. That's how Diane responded. That's how Paul responded to their situation. But I'm not going to say, well, you know, there we go, and we all live happily ever after, because that's how it should be, because it's a bit more complicated than that. Because I think one of the things that makes prayer difficult is kind of when you remove it from that communal aspect, from that being part of a community, it can make it harder, because I actually think prayer is supposed to be a communal activity, something we do as a group of people. Yes, by yourself, absolutely, and you can do that, and we should, and lockdown may have opened sort of the opportunity and the space to do that, but it has impacted the way we pray as a community and as a church. It's a key part of being a community. Listen to something Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. He says, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Sorry, that's verse 18. And then he goes on to say, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. I don't think that's kind of a passage saying prayer is a blank check, you know, and if two of us get together and pray, you know, God, let us win the lottery. God has to do it, because it says in the Bible, you know, that if we agree on anything, God will do it. But that's not what that verse is saying. Verse 18 that I read before, and before that, that whole passage is really about the church. It's about the community. It's about being a community. It's a way of saying that Jesus is telling us that prayer as a community does something different to when we pray by ourselves. Prayer does something that sort of connects us with God in a way that it doesn't seem to do when we're just praying by ourselves. And lockdown's made that difficult. It's made it harder to pray as a community. But it's raised this question, and it's a question I think some people, I know I have, ever since the sort of internet took off, I've been wondering about this, is do you have to be physically gathered together to be a proper community? Or can you do church over the internet? And now, thanks to COVID, we're forced to put this to the test, whether we can. And although being physically together is an important part of being community, definitely. It is not sort of the be-all and end-all of community. Again, let me remind you what Paul wrote to the Philippians. This is 1 verse 7. Okay, he says, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you. And he said, you know, when I pray for you, I'm full of joy because you've partnered with me in the gospel. He says this. He says in verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. And he says, God can testify in verse 8 how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. So you can't tell me that just because Paul was in chains, Paul was in prison, Paul was in lockdown, that he did not feel that he was still a part of a community with the Philippians, with the church in Philippi. He was still connected to them, even though he wasn't able to physically be with them. There was still this kind of beating heart of community that came through in his relationship with them. And in Paul's day, physically being with someone was the only way to be with them. But now in our age, we can connect with people on the other side of the world through technology. My last sermon, I complained about the effect technology was having kind of on my mental health, and all that's true. But there are some benefits to technology. It's not all bad. And one of them is it helps us connect. It helps us be a community, even when we cannot be physically together. And it helps us to pray as a community. Prayer is not just something we can continue to do in our sort of own world because of lockdown. It is something we can continue to do as a community. We still have those means. And you'll have seen in your weekly emails, hopefully if you read them, that Monday night prayer has continued. Even though we haven't been meeting together on Sundays, Monday night prayer has been going on. You may not know, but you should know that we still get together on Sunday mornings before the live stream, before the service, over Zoom, to pray for what's going to happen on that Sunday morning. We still do that. And you, again, hopefully you know, is you can still, even though it's all online, you can still contact the prayer team and get prayer for, be prayed for after the service, because prayer is something that we can still do as a community, even though we are sort of under physical restriction. It is one part of our spiritual life that cannot be restricted by physical limitations. We're still allowed to be a community through prayer. It's almost like God knew, isn't it? It's almost like God knew that throughout the centuries, throughout the years, the church was going to have periods where it was separated and scattered and we were isolated from each other. And it's like he gave us something. He said, here, you can pray, you can have prayer, where you can connect with others through prayer. Even though you may not be with them, you can pray for them and they will pray for you. And that's even easier for us because, you know, unlike Paul, who had to write letters, which took a long time to get anywhere, but sort of with his prayer requests and to know that other people were praying for him, you or I can know sort of almost instantly. We can get together digitally and pray for each other and be prayed for and know that we are being prayed for. For those of us, like me, who have struggled for, you know, God's strength during lockdown, prayer is a way that we can support one another in these times. We can help each other find strength, just as Paul did for the churches he was responsible for, just as Diane did for so many people in her life. And we can still be church and we can still be community. And one of the things I think we need to continue doing is letting others know that we need prayer when we have things that need to be prayed for, prayed about. And I think it's, again, we're in a good position to be able to do that. If you're watching this sermon, watching this service, you have all the tools you need to communicate with others, to ask for prayer, to find out what people need to be need prayer for. Life groups are particularly good at this. I know our life group does this, and I'm sure those of you in life groups know this, is we have a WhatsApp group, and there's sort of a constant stream of information about what's going on in our lives, and we can pray for one another, prayer requests coming through, and answers to prayer, and we can be a community through our prayer for each other. These things are a part of being church, and there's something we can do despite being under lockdown, despite the physical limitations on us. What I'm trying to say, or what I'm trying to get across, is that although the restrictions from COVID have put plenty of limits on what we can do as a church and changed the way we have to go about the things we sort of took for granted for so long, prayer is something that remains constant, can remain constant in our lives, in the life of our community, in the life of our church. And it can remain constant even if we have to sort of return to the severe lockdown restrictions that we experienced earlier this year. If we have to go back to kind of staying in our homes a lot more and not going out as much, prayer remains unchanged. Because physical limitations do not have to be spiritual limitations, and prayer is one of the things that God gives us as individuals and as a community that we can use to continue our spiritual journey, to continue our growth. We can pray for each other. We can pray about our own situation. And that is a good question. You know, what do we pray? How do we pray in these times? Because Paul, you know, faced his lockdown, his imprisonment, and he just got on with the business of what he felt God had called him to do and called him to be. And he got on with the business of caring for the churches that God had sort of placed in his care. He got on with the business of praying. And if we read again, go back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. How did he pray? This is what he says. He says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." It's interesting, like when you look at what Paul thinks about in his prayers, what he asks for prayer about, what he's praying for the other churches, he doesn't often say things like, you know, "Well, I'm in prison, so could you pray that I'll be released from prison? Could you pray that my situation will change?" He often prays, you know, "Help me sort of honour God, help me share the gospel while I'm in this situation." In other words, and you get in this prayer here that Paul sort of prays for the Philippians, he's often praying not for a change in their circumstances, not for a change in their situation, but for a change in their character, that they may grow in their faith and their knowledge of God. And I think that's interesting, because I think Paul understood this, and I hope we understand this, that because physical limitations don't have to be spiritual limitations, the goal is always kind of spiritual growth, not necessarily a change in the limitations. And when sort of lockdown and COVID happened, we pray about the things that are going on. We pray for the people who are sick, for all the situations we face. I don't think that's wrong at all. I don't think we shouldn't be doing that. I think absolutely. But I think we should also bear in mind that because spiritual growth is still possible, we can continue to pray for spiritual growth for one another, for the church. We can pray for like Paul does, you know, "My prayer for you is that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight," that we can pray for each other's growth. Because although situations are changing and COVID changes things and circumstances change, God's agenda hasn't changed. God's agenda never changes. And his agenda is always that we may become more like his son, that you and I may become more like his son, that others around us who don't know him yet will know him and become more like his son. So I think our prayers should also include praying towards that end, which doesn't change whether we're in lockdown or not, whether we're, you know, you can have six people in a gathering or whether you can have 6 million people in the gathering. The goal is the same. We should be praying for each other to grow in faith, grow in love, grow in our knowledge of God. That continues. And I'm not saying don't pray, you know, we shouldn't be praying that people who are sick would get well. We shouldn't, you know, I'm not saying we shouldn't be praying about the situation of COVID and how it's affecting the world. Absolutely, we should. But we should not forget that we can also pray, as, you know, Jesus taught us to pray, Father in heaven, your name be hallowed, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That this should be something we continue to pray along those lines, that we would be equipped to bring God's love into the world, whatever the sort of limitations on us are, whatever is going on in the world. Again, let me just repeat, I'm not saying don't pray about situations, circumstances, don't ask God to change things. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is that we can grow whether God changes things or not. And that is something we should be have in our minds when we're praying for ourselves, when we're praying for others. The last thing I want to talk about this morning, just one final thing, is something that I feel is quite fitting is to talk about in this topic, but also it kind of pleases me, it warms my heart a bit to know that one of the first things we're looking to do as a church in terms of getting together as a physical community again is not Sunday mornings, not Sunday morning services, but that one of the first things we're trying to do is get together to pray together. And I don't know, there may have been information come out this with the week of this sermon, or you may not have had it yet, but there's a prayer meeting. We want to start a prayer meeting up again where we can get together following all the sort of guidelines from the government and making sure it's safe and sensible and all those things. But we want to get together to pray. And it kind of, as I said, it's fitting, I think, that the first thing we're looking to do as a church, the first thing we're looking to do as a community, sort of coming together, people from different life groups, because sometimes life groups are meeting, or you've been going to people's houses to watch the service or to do sort of watch the kids work together and things like that. But the first thing we're doing church-wide, one of the first things we're doing is to come together to pray. Because as I said earlier on in this sermon, when we come together to pray, something else is happening that doesn't happen when we pray by ourselves. That's what Jesus says. And although we can sort of, we may not be entirely sure what that is, prayer has a strong communal streak running through it. And it's fitting that prayer should be something that we come together to do sort of as soon as we can. And it reminds me of a saying, I often think about this saying when I think about prayer meetings. It's a saying about churches. It's a bit cynical. Maybe you feel it's a bit harsh, but I think about it often. It's quite a good sort of reminder to me. The saying I heard goes like this. It goes, if you want to see how popular a church is, go along to the Sunday morning service and see how many people are there. If you want to see how popular a preacher is, go to the evening service. If you want to see how popular God is, go to the midweek prayer meeting. And I've often felt quite sort of, you know, convicted by that statement. If you want to see how popular God is in a church, go to the midweek prayer meeting. So I want to encourage you this day to think about when the opportunity presents for us to meet together, to think about, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to come together as a part of this church to pray, to be a part of a community that prays. Because whatever the numerical limitations are on who can meet and how we can meet, I don't think that what we want to see as a church is the same, you know, 16, 12, however many people, it's the same 16 people meeting every week. So if you want to go every week, we might have to say to you, no, you know what, don't go every week, because we want to open this up to as many people as possible. And I encourage you today to think about being a part of that when it starts up again. Being someone who goes once a month or whatever to pray together as a church, to become a community again, and to pray and see what God does when we get together and pray. Because drawing as many of us as possible, as many of us as we can into prayer and being together in prayer is a powerful thing. It's an important thing. And if, like me, you sort of not always keen on prayer meetings, if, like me, you know that saying, if you want to see how God how popular God is, go to the midweek prayer meeting. Maybe that challenges you or annoys you or whatever like that. If it stirs you up in some way, then consider coming along to the prayer meeting when the opportunity arises, because prayer is one of the best ways to be community and one of the best ways to remind ourselves that physical limitations as individuals and as a church do not have to be spiritual limitations.